1789, President George Washington made the following proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their being a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He, that is God, hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed. What a wonderful statement. And today we wonder what has happened. Where have we gone wrong? What has happened to the country that once embraced joyfully and gladly and wholeheartedly such a statement as that of President George Washington? Washington's declaration resounds with Scripture. And as we look at our passage this morning in Deuteronomy 28, we see the answer to that question of what went wrong. Because what has gone wrong with us in America today is exactly what went wrong with Israel in days gone by. Israel is on the edge of the Promised Land, about to enter. They're east of the Jordan River. And Moses addresses Israel in preparation for their advancing. And this is the second giving of the law, because this is the second generation. The first generation that came out of Egypt has died. And Moses is reminding a second generation of their covenant obligations to God and of God's goodness and blessing and mercies to them. He has reviewed the moral law of God, as we read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And then in chapter 6, he has instructed parents of the responsibility to teach God's commandments, His law, to their children. Notice verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Then in chapter 7, Moses reminds the people of Israel of their special covenant relationship to God. They are special of all the nations of the world. Verse 6, you are a holy people. And that word holy means separated, distinct from those of the world. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. And now in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses warns them. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you this day. Beware is a rather strong word of warning. It means watch out. Pay attention and be alert, because this is important. There is danger. Do not forget the Lord your God. Thought comes to mind, how could the Israelites who have experienced such an amazing care and blessing of God in the immediate past, how could they forget Him? And yet that's exactly what already had happened and would continue to happen and happens in our lives, in our hearts. God delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt, and He did it with, if you will, fireworks. 10 plagues that demonstrated His glory, His power, His might, that He was the one and true God, greater than any of the gods of Egypt, even the sun god Ra. He defeated the power of one of the most powerful kings of the earth, the Pharaoh. And not only did God deliver Israel from slavery in Egypt, but He caused the Egyptians to so want to be rid of them that they brought them their gold and silver and art treasures and gifts galore. Just take it and leave. And off Israel goes, suddenly wealthy and free. And led by Moses, they head straight for the Red Sea. And Egypt has second thoughts. And they decided it wasn't such a good idea after all. And they send the army after the Israelites. And the Israelites are trapped. The mountains on one side, the Red Sea on one side, and the Egyptian army on another side bearing down upon them. And Israel forgot the display of God's power that they had just days, literally days before, had experienced. And so Exodus 14:11 says this, the people of Israel said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us like this to bring us out of Egypt? Already the psalmist writes, Psalm 106:21, they forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. That is the nature of our sinful hearts. We are inclined to forget rather than to remember. To forget God, to forget His blessings, His care, His protection, His faithfulness, His goodness, His gifts. And that is why God continually in His Word reminds His people not to forget. That's why we see in the Psalms, several Psalms and throughout the Scriptures, a rehearsal of God's blessings and His care and His benefits, because we are prone in our sinfulness to forget His goodness. So Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 17, verse 10, says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation. How could you forget the God of your salvation? But because they have, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, Isaiah says, judgment is coming. Moses warns not to forget the keeping of the law. And he uses three different words here. He uses commandments, he uses judgments, and he uses statutes. This is kind of the way they did it back in those days. They would stack words on top of each other that were basically the same in meaning, just to emphasize them. You see this, for example, in Psalm 119, where the psalmist uses many different words for law or commandments or statutes or judgments of God. God's commandments are not mean-spirited. They are not punishment. God's commandments are not sending you to your room. God's commandments are from a loving, heavenly Father to keep His children from sin and from trouble. Jesus alone has perfectly kept the Lord's commandments. He kept perfectly the law in every detail. And it is in Him and Him alone that we have a righteousness before God. It's called imputed righteousness. And practically, by keeping His commandments, by consciously seeking to obey the commandments of our God, we bring glory to His name and blessing to our hearts. It's interesting, Jesus said, this is the way that we show the world our love for Christ. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God's commandments are not burdensome. In fact, Paul says they are good. They are good. We need to strive to keep them. And Moses warned self-indulgence can lead us to forget God. Verse 12. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know, wealth, material things, abundance are not wrong in themselves. It's interesting, just a couple of verses earlier, Moses extolled the abundance that God would give them in the promised land. Notice verse 7. He says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you will dig copper. This is a land of abundance that God is giving to you because He is a God of abundance. Now, personally, you might sometimes think that God is not the giver of abundance. You might even think of Him as a little bit tight-fisted. I surely need more than He's giving me, right? You might even think, Christians often think this way, true saints, true godly people are poor and oppressed. We're like Ruth. You know, Ruth had to go out and she had to glean in the fields of strangers in order just to get something to eat. It's wrong thinking. Many saints in Old and New Testaments both were blessed materially. Think of Job. Think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Think of David. Think of Solomon. All immensely wealthy. Money is not the root of all evil. Abundance is not the problem. It is, the New Testament says, the love of money which is the root of all evil. The love of possessions and things is what is wrong. Because we are to love and serve only the Creator who gave us these things, our God and our Father, and not His gifts. We need to love the giver rather than the gift. Think of Israel over the last 40 years. God had provided and protected them in wonderful ways, amazing ways, from enemies. They wandered in the wilderness and He gave them special food from heaven. They didn't have to work for it. It was just there. Every morning they could go out and collect it. He even gave them in the desert water from a rock on two different occasions. Of course, Paul says that rock was Christ Jesus, who is the water of life. And now God is about to take them into a land of abundance, a land flowing, the scripture says, with milk and honey, with all of these good things we just read about, orchard trees and so forth, that they wouldn't even have to plant. They could just go and pick the fruit. Because God is the giver of every good and gift and every perfect gift. But the danger, and this is what Moses is warning, the danger is the abundance can draw our hearts away from God. Verse 14. Your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord. That word lifted up is the same word that Isaiah uses in Isaiah chapter 6. You recall that passage where he sees the throne high and lifted up of the God of glory. Now we would expect that of God's throne, wouldn't we? God's throne should be high and lifted up, but not a sinner's heart. Not even a saint's heart. This was Lucifer's sin. I will ascend above the heights. I will be like the Most High. Our sinful tendency, instead of thanking God for His blessings, is to take them for granted, even to think that we deserve them, we earn them. They're the result of the work of my hands. And we forget God. We too often let the gifts of God distract us from God. This is what Israel did. And they did it constantly. They did it again and again. It's their whole history. And it's one that makes the reader of the Old Testament just marvel. How could they so often and so quickly and so readily forget God's blessings and His goodness and His abundance? You see it in the cycles of the judges. You read about Gideon, the great deliverance of the enemies of Israel into the hands of Gideon, not by his strength, but by God's. And then Gideon dies. And Israel almost immediately forgets God and takes up idolatry. We read in Judges 8:34, "Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side." And about every 40 years, Israel would forget what God had done, His deliverance, His care, His provision, and turn to their sinful ways and their idolatry. Verse 17, Moses warns that this forgetting of God leads to pride. And you say in your heart, "My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." We forget God when we view the blessings of life as our just reward. They are the works of my effort. We deserve them. And pride lifts us up and brings us to forget the God who is the giver of these gifts. This was King Nebuchadnezzar's sin. Nebuchadnezzar, we read in Daniel 4:30, said, "Is not this," as he looked from the wall of the palace upon Babylon, great, great Babylon, had one of the ancient wonders of the world. And he looks at it and he says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And he did not recognize that these were at the hands of God. And the words were barely out of his mouth before he became insane. But that's how everyone who forgets God thinks. It's the sin of the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:17. You say, "I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing," and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Again, their sin was not in their abundance, but in forgetting that it was by God's grace. Isn't this what America has done? Even in our churches, we've forgotten God. We've looked at the things. We've looked at the gifts rather than at God. Well, Moses says the cure is to remember God, verse 18, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." The word "remember" simply means to call to mind, to recall the things of the past to memory. Some things like sin and pain we like to forget, and often it's not bad to forget. But when it comes to the good things, and the gifts of God, His blessings, Moses is saying we need to strive to remember. We need to work at calling them to mind and to reflect on them, to rehearse them. And that's what we see in Scripture. Remember what God has done, even in the midst of afflictions and difficulties. We need to remember and call to mind God's blessings, the good times. But notice the purpose of His blessing. See, God's gifts are not an end in themselves. God gives us for a purpose, for a reason. Moses says that He might establish His covenant. The covenant that He made with their fathers and was working out through them and is still working out through us. That God might do what He said He would do and that He might keep His promises to His people and these blessings. And here Moses uses the word wealth, but I would understand it in the sense that wealth is describing all of the riches of the promised land and the good food and the safety and the homes that they wouldn't have to build but could move right into. The pleasant valleys and the streams. This is wealth. And they are all received by God's power. They're God's gifts. And as the Israelites conquered the Canaanites, it was God who gave them victories, not their numbers. It was God who brought down the walls of Jericho, not their army. It was God who parted the waters of the Jordan River and they walked across on dry land. It was God who gave the kingdoms of Canaan into their land, into their hands. And He did it, what Moses is saying. He did it and is doing it and will do it, not ultimately for Israel's comfort. God doesn't bless us for our comfort, but for the glory of God. For the furtherance of His kingdom. For the enlargement of the church. He is Jehovah who keeps His word, His promises, His covenant. And so Moses gives a warning again. Forgetting God will lead to judgment. Verse 19. It shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish. To forget God, to forget His blessings, to forget His mercies, His care, His faithfulness, leads to disobedience. And eventually it leads to His judgment. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Again, think of the cycles of the judges. God would raise up a judge that would lead them in righteousness and obedience, and he would die, and they would forget God, they forget His commandments, they would start sinning, there'd be disobedience, and before long there was enslavement. Until God in His grace would deliver them again. Under the kings, they constantly forgot God. And His word and the scriptures were literally lost. They didn't know where they were. Till finally God sent them into captivity. And Jerusalem itself was destroyed. And God's temple was destroyed. The parallels with America are startling, aren't they? But should not surprise us. And the reason is sinners fall into the same traps. No matter what the technology, no matter what the centuries might be. Early pilgrims came to America seeking the freedom to worship God as they understood they should. And they didn't have much, but they loved and they served God. And America was blessed. We prospered. We grew wealthy. There was what used to be called, I haven't heard it recently, but as a youth I did, the Protestant work ethic. You keep God's word, you keep the commandments, you keep the Lord's day, you work hard, you're honest, you love your neighbor as yourself, you're neighborly, and prosperity came along as God's blessing. Even our poor have an abundance. But in our prosperity, like Israel of old, we have forgotten God. We're unthankful. We have a national day of thanksgiving, but for many it is just a day. In fact, it's even called Turkey Day. And there's football. And for many, it's become just another day of finding more material stuff. Rather than acknowledging the gracious providence of our loving, good God. If God did not spare His covenant people Israel because they forgot Him and disobeyed Him, be warned, He will not spare America. Our neglect, our forgetting God, our forgetting His commandments. We need to heed the warning of Moses to Israel, verse 20, to be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. This word Lord in our translation is the word Jehovah. It is the covenant, the special covenant name of God. This is my God. This is my covenant God. And the word God is just the generic term, Elohim. It's the strong one, the Almighty. Jehovah is our covenant God, and we are His covenant people. That is the promise of the covenant, Old Testament and New Testament. That is what God is doing. He's calling out for Himself a people who will own Him as their God, and He will own as His people. And we are obligated to obey Him, to remember His blessings, to be thankful for all that He has given us, and to serve Him. To serve Him in our eating, our drinking, our working. As Paul puts it, doing all to the glory of God. Remembering God's blessings promotes several things. Remembering God's blessings promotes humility. Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way that it was not his wisdom, it was not his strength that built Babylon, but God's. Remembering what God has done for you, for your family, for our church, reminds us that it is not our doing. It is God's. He is good. He gives you not what you deserve. He doesn't give you what you've earned. No. He gives you His grace. He gives you His unmeasured mercies. And Ephesians 1 tells us, with Christ, every spiritual blessing. Remembering God's blessings also promotes faith. As you recall God's faithfulness in the past, His undeserved gifts, His care, His goodness, the abundance of His gifts freely given, it helps you to trust Him for tomorrow. If God has been good to you yesterday, will He not continue to show you His love and care today and tomorrow? Remembering God's blessings promotes prayer. God has met your needs in the past. He's provided for you. He's protected you. And so you pray to your Father in heaven, asking Him to do the same now and tomorrow as well. True faith in your Heavenly Father leads you to pray, to come to the throne of grace, asking for more grace, more blessings, more care. Remembering God's blessings promotes obedience. You know, as you reflect upon God's goodness to you, His provision for your needs, His gifts beyond your needs, should move you to desire to obey such a God. It should move you to be a loyal servant of the God who has done you so much good. Remembering God's blessings also promotes gratitude, thanksgiving. As you call to remembrance God's gifts, God's care, God's grace, it draws you to give thanks to such a God. This is what we see in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 106. There's a recounting of God's mercies there. And it leads to the conclusion of the psalm. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray?